This is the Library Talker, also known as Library Lady. I'm Library Talker on Blogspot, librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I'm Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is hosted. So, all right, so I took myself back in time and basically did a major reread for this new book that I was getting ready to read, and I think that actually tainted how I'm seeing this particular book. So the book I'm reviewing today and discussing is Soul Taken by Patricia Briggs. It is the 13th novel for the Mercy Thompson series. And there's in the Anna and Charles series as well, the Alpha and Omega. So those books kind of go hand in hand. There's also a number of short stories that go with this, but this is book 13 for Mercy. And I've always preferred Mercy. Mercy is my gal. I love Mercy's character. I love the world. I love how it was set. I reread the 12. There are a couple of really great ones. There are a couple of meh ones, but sadly, this is not in the really great category. This is giving me Stretch vibes. And if you've seen any or listened to my previous podcast, stretching is a thing that I use as a term for people who are just trying to get these things to last longer, sell more books, that kind of stuff. I don't know what the intention was with this. It feels like it might be a setup for the next book more than an actual book on its own. The book itself is, you know, decently length, but this felt short. It felt choppy. It felt forced. I had some logistical questions with some of it. I don't know exactly what happened, but this is not the Mercy I like and love. Many of the other characters were not, you know, they just weren't right. There was something going on, and it just felt like it was a forced novel. Trying to add in, I mean, she has done so many, the character of Mercy and with Patricia Briggs, she does a ton of research. She knows her characters. She knows the world that she's created. She knows all of these histories. She's absolutely amazing in that way. But it's just not feeling it on this one. So for those of you who don't know the Mercy Thompson series, Mercy Thompson is the daughter of a feisty Caucasian woman and a Native American who at the time was being inhabited by coyote, as in the famous coyote of Native tales. And so she is coyote's daughter, basically. And so she can turn into a coyote pretty fast. I mean, it's just like blink of an eye, bam, she's a coyote. Woohoo! She lives in a world of werewolves and vampires and the fae and witches, and she's done a lot. And over the 12 books, she's had to deal with a lot, and she's been busted up and broken down, and she's built herself back up again, and she's gone through a lot of things. But in this book, she's not handling, I mean, maybe part of it is the idea of, wow, this is just the straw that broke the camel's back. I'm not sure. She doesn't handle things well. The rest of the characters are odd. I mean, Adam is actually more personable in this one. Her husband, is more personable, and you can, you know, you see his side. There are a couple of chapters from his side, although they aren't really like labeled as such. It takes a second, and you go, oh wait, this is Adam, instead of Mercy. So there are a couple from his side, and you kind of get it. You kind of understand. It's like, okay, yeah. And I can like Adam more, and I can enjoy Adam more, but the other characters, like Warren's really cranky, and at the end you kind of get it, and it's supposed to be like almost a joke at the end of, ha ha, that's why he's so cranky, but it wasn't funny. It didn't fit. And maybe a reread will change my mind on that, but it just didn't, I don't know. Z's motivations as a character in this book are odd. He just seems so just off kilter, and yet he does the right thing at the end, and I'm not sure, because everybody's telling Marcy, don't let Z get a hold of this thing. Don't let Z get a spoilers, of course. Don't let Z get a hold of this thing. And she lets him get a hold of this thing, but she makes a fae bargain and he has to honor it, and so okay, everything's fine, right? It's just kind of like everybody is telling you on multiple fronts not to give it to this guy, no matter what. And he is so obsessed with this item, and he seems to be like really, and she keeps describing him as being looking obsessed, getting sweaty when he's thinking about it and talking about it, like he wants this item, and everybody's telling her not to give it to him, but she gives it to him and he destroys it. And everything's okay because it was a bargain that she made, made it official. I don't know. And she herself reacts kind of oddly. Maybe it's just not written well enough for me to understand why she's reacting that way. At one point also, there's this weird thing with spider eggs in her paws. And when she turns human, now they're in her feet and her hands, and they get rid of them and they make a clinking sound or whatever when they're removed one by one, and there's a lot of them and it takes a really long time and it's just kind of gross. But then what happened to her hands and her feet? Like, there's nothing described as being like holes or dents or any, there's nothing. It's like now her hands and feet are sore, but they still look like normal hands and feet, even though you've removed how many dozens of eggs or whatever this thing is. I mean, it's a little kind of gross, but you've removed all of these things from her hands and her feet, and there's no damage beyond soreness. I would think that there'd be something there, you know, that there, the walking stick shows up again, which is great, but is it really physically as much there, or is it in her brain? It was hard to tell. She kept going into these alternate areas in her mind, how she has learned how to visualize magic and connections and everything. She kept going into those places. So we don't know how much of what we're seeing is real or how much of it is just kind of a vision or how much of it is a connection. Again, and it goes back and forth and back and forth, and it's just... It was a little messy, I think. So I still love Marcy. I loved Adam in this one. The rest of the characters were kind of blippity all over the place. They were there and then they weren't there. And the idea is that something somewhere is making people just disappear. Sometimes from sealed rooms and sometimes from locked areas and sometimes... they're just starting to disappear. And there's about 15 or so before the pack really gets an idea that this is a problem. And they've been really, you know, once they're on it, they're really trying to work it. But where are these people going? Who's kidnapping? What's going on? We get the prayer, if my, you know, and if my, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I should die before I awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Apparently that is actually a curse, and not just a prayer. It's about this item, which is a sickle, not a scythe, even though people keep saying it's a scythe. It's a sickle, and it's over time been imbued more and more and more. And now there is some sort of life within the sickle, some sort of consciousness that wants to release a god. Now, Mercy's fought gods before, but wants to release a god, and it needs souls to do it. It needs as many souls, and it needs certain souls. Only certain souls will fit in this thing. So they have to be a little bit magic, but not completely magic. They have to have, a little bit of knowledge, but not a lot of knowledge. There's all these little weird things. So this sickle is possessing whoever holds it and making them go and kill people, but not letting their souls go free, like trapping them inside the sickle so that it can get to this point where it has enough or is powerful enough that it can release this god, apparently. And so it's been doing this for hundreds of years, if not over 1,000 years, and takes possession, and the last time it did it was like 40 years before in this town. But it, you know, they thought they, you know, Z thought he'd had it, he'd destroyed it, he was done with it, that he had bested this weapon. And now he finds out that he didn't, and it was fake, and oh my gosh, and it was fake because they didn't want to give him the real one because it's dangerous in his hands, and yet we still gave it to him at the end. It's, again, if it sounds messy, it's because it is. The whole book is just kind of, it just wasn't one of her best. And I understand she's had a lot of issues over the last year or two. I know that things have just been a little crazy. She's also, I think, setting up the next Alpha and Omega, which ended with a interesting little twist. And then we have one little moment that's in there where Mercy talks to Samuel, who's part of the twist in Alpha and Omega, and he says, nope, we've got it, we find it, but if we need it, we know who to go to. And then that's it. That's all we hear from Samuel. So he has just another blip in there, just like he blipped in Alpha and Omega in that last year book, Wild Sign. So it's just kind of... I wanted to like this book. I wanted to care. I will say I liked Wolf. For the first time, he really, you know, I really was like, okay, now I like this character. As a fully fleshed out character, I enjoyed it. But we saw a lot of his history. We saw where he came from. We saw how he got to be kind of the crazy he is. However, we also saw... Daryl, one of the other wolves, and his history, and it was just a quick little blip about why he hates vampires, which makes me wonder, because I don't read the short stories. I'm not a big fan of short stories. So she's got an anthology of short stories of characters from this, and then she's got different short stories in other anthologies of different characters from this universe. So it makes me wonder, was Daryl in one of those? Was there a short story about Daryl there? And now there, she's just kind of putting that in here just to connect it or so. I don't know. But again, it's just, we're getting to the point where there's a few too many people where they're not, she's not able to be consistent with their characters and characterizations, where it's just, getting, it's gone from, okay, now we have to fight a vampire, or now we have to fight a fey lord or whatever, to let's try and come up with the most odd thing that we, I mean, last book was Rumpelstiltskin was the bad guy, and so it was just kind of it's like she's having to look really hard. But this book is setting up a conflict, maybe a final conflict. I've heard rumors that there's only one or two books left in this series, that she is going to end it. So a conflict between Mercy and Bonarata, who she had dealings with in the book Silence Fallen, and then embarrassed him and beat him, and now apparently he's holding a grudge because people are laughing at him, and how dare she have people laugh at him for beating him. And so now he's going to have revenge, but he's going to do it slowly and scarily and take out all her friends and everything. So it's kind of building, but not very well. We also have Underhill, the character Tilly. She's out there. We see her a couple of times, but again, nothing really happens with her. She's there. She makes a few remarks. It sounds like she's going to do something, but then she doesn't, or Mercy doesn't make the deal with her. So what's going to happen? Is she going to be mad in the next book because Mercy didn't take her up on the deal or whatever? It's just, was this just an intermediary book? Was it just, we need to settle some things, or we just need to be a large piece of exposition to get ready for the next book? I don't know. I love Mercy so much, but this was just not it. It was just, no, it wasn't. And I know, you know, if you go on Goodreads, you'll see a lot of 5 stars in there. But if you check when those 5 stars have been added, we're looking at like last year. As other people are starting to post live reviews, actual reviews, you can start seeing that the reviews start to go down. So I don't think it will stay review-wise, at least on Goodreads, at the level it's at right now. I think it will drop. There are some people who are like, it's Mercy, it's awesome, no matter what. We love what Mercy. Mercy's great. But other people are like, wait, this wasn't really Mercy. I mean, it just didn't feel like Mercy. It just felt wrong. We also had the part where we find out who Sherwood Post is, except for this is a character that's been there for a few books now, and there was a betting pool because he had amnesia, and a couple of people knew who he was, but nobody would reveal it, and so we had to wait until it was revealed. Well, at the end of Wild Sign, the last book that Patty wrote in this universe, the Alpha and Omega one, she wrote that he woke up and knew who he was. Well, in this book, we're like, okay, cool, we're gonna find out. And it was just, he's this person's brother. We don't get his name. We don't know what else he's really done. We find out that he was one other person that was correct on the betting pool, but there were other things that he could still be, and we don't really get much from it. And it's just, it's kind of a little bit of a downer because we don't get what we're looking for on this one. And I understand, maybe the audience doesn't always really know what they want. Maybe if they got what they want, they weren't going to be happy with it. I don't know. But there was a plan for him, and he's obviously someone, and we know he is now the brother of the lead alpha werewolf of the North America. We understand that he's the older brother, and he's also witchborn, so he has magical powers, and yay him. So they want to call on him when they absolutely need him. But what else? Who is he? And we're still going to call him Sherwood, even though that's not his name. Okay. Again, it's a mishmash, and I'm so conflicted because I wanted this to be good. I wanted to really enjoy this book. I wanted to start reading it and not want to stop, but it was a little sloggy, and I really did have to stop every once in a while and just do other things and come back to it. Doesn't mean I didn't read it fast. I did read it pretty fast, but I did take breaks, which is not my norm with Mercy. So I'm sad about that. So on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being avoid police tape. You don't want to waste your life on this thing. You're going to want, someone to pay you for the hours that you've lost. 5 being this is the most amazing thing ever. Yay! 2 being eh. 3 being eh. And 4 being eh. This is a 3, and I'm giving it a 3 because it's still the Mercy universe. It's still Patricia Briggs. I still hope that there is a reason for this, that the next book will kind of explain why this one was kind of so choppy. I'm giving it a little bit of an extra oomph on that, putting it over the halfway mark slightly. Not a 2, not a 2.5. I am giving it a 3, but I'm hoping I'm not going to regret that later and go, well, it just kept going worse from there. So Patricia Briggs, the name of the book is Soul Taken. It is the 13th of the Mercy Thompson novels and like the 20-something in this universe. So she's written a lot and she's done a lot with this, but that's where we are. 3 out of 5 for Soul Taken. And now we have to wait like 2 more years for the next Mercy book because there will be another book in between and all this other stuff. So I'm the Library Talker, librarytalker.blogspot.com, Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is hosted. And it's 3 out of 5 for Patricia Briggs' Soul Taken. So thank you for listening, and I hope you have a really great day.